Welcome to Right Damn It with me, Zoe Richards, your host for the podcast that's all about books, writing them, reading them, and getting our heads around getting the writing done. Episode 91, and this is the second in the series called The Rejection Series, and today's actually poses a question, which is, why does my novel get rejected? Now, let me just do a caveat at the beginning of this. I'm not an expert, I'm not an agent, so I cannot give you a guarantee that what I'm about to say is 100% accurate. However, from the research I've done, these are the reasons why novels get rejected. And I think it's really important that we're aware of that as early as possible in the whole querying agents process, because actually it can be quite a downer of the process, can't it? If you've already started, you know it is. If you've been through it, you know it is. If you're about to go through it, it's not easy, okay? Being in the query trenches is not easy. So let's make our chances better by knowing as much as we can before we start querying. And I've got to say, I wish I'd known some of this before I did my first querying, which was on The Seamstress, my historical novel. I'm thankful I didn't send it out to many agents. That's all I can tell you. Okay, so why does a novel get rejected? It's a really good question, isn't it? And I think that there are four reasons, or four categories of reasons, as to why a novel will get rejected. First of all, let's just talk about the elephant in the room, and that is luck. There is an element of this process that is all about luck. And because of that, I want you to keep in mind that rejection is not personal. It has nothing at all to do with you. It might have something to do with your writing, it might have something to do with other things, but it is not a personal attack on you. So whatever you do as you're going through the querying process, don't take it personally. And keep in mind everything from episode 89 as well, around expectations and setting your expectations in the right way, knowing that there is this element of luck. So the luck really is about, probably you could best classify this as being, it's what's happening for the agent right now. Now that could be that the agent is specifically looking to diversify their list and you fit into that underrepresented group or groups that the agent is looking for. Yay! Go you! Do you know what? Make sure you use that element of luck, because if you're in an underrepresented group, you haven't had that luck going for you for a long time. So use it and make sure you make that really clear to agents when you're querying that you are from an underrepresented group. You've got to use anything you can to turn the luck gods in your direction. Luck could also be something that's negative, I guess, which could be something that is happening for the agent right now. That might be their list is really quite full. It could be their list has got other novels like yours and they're not going to go out to commissioning editors on numerous novels of a similar type. That doesn't mean it's exactly the same. It doesn't mean that those other novels are better than yours. It simply means they are already working with authors who have written books like yours. So the luck of the draw, unfortunately, your timing is bad on that. That then takes us on to the second reason why your novel might be getting rejected, and that is about timing. And that could be defined really as being what's happening in the world right now. So it could be bad timing because something in your novel. So and I remember reading stuff about people who'd written about pandemics in 2019. They were querying early 2020. In fact, I was talking to one author who had got to the point where they had a publication date. But unfortunately, because the pandemic, the actual pandemic came along, that meant that the timing was completely off the wall. It was too bad a timing for them. Timing can also work the other way. I feel that Garden of Her Heart has actually benefited from the timing of the fact that we talk about suicidal ideation. Not that this is a novel about suicide, by the way, so it's not about triggering anybody, but as somebody myself who is a suicide survivor, I was able to bring into the novel things about recovery from mental health. And to me, it's about the recovery, not about the reasons that that somebody might have suicidal ideation. So the fact that nowadays we talk about suicidal ideation, we talk about mental health, the time is right for a novel that is about recovery from both physical and mental health scars. So that is a timing issue. And in fact, I benefited from, I don't even know the details of this, but a combination of luck and timing, in that when I sent my query email with the submission pack to my agent, Claire Coombs, she says that it landed with her on a day where her and her sister had been having a conversation. I have no idea what that conversation was about, but when Claire read my email, something in my email resonated with her because of a conversation she'd had with her sister. Now, that could be that it was a conversation about, isn't it a shame that there's never any books that are written in Liverpool and Formby that are uplifting? And da-da, that worked. As I say, I don't know what that combination of luck and timing was. I just know that it worked in my favour. And that could work in your favour, but equally it could work against you. So that's numbers one and two, luck and timing. It could be something to do with your writing, and let's not ignore that. We tend to think that we've actually worked on this novel the best we absolutely can before we go out querying. When I look back now, I realise there was actually more work I could have done on Garden of Her Heart before I queried. And it wasn't just Claire that I queried a series of agents. So I look back now and it's like, do you know what? Particularly the ending, my ending could have been much stronger than it is now. And there are other parts where I know that we've made changes. So Claire and I made some changes to the order of some of the chapters. It worked so much better for that. That isn't about a rewrite. I needed to do a minor amount of rewriting because of changing the order of chapters. But actually, that illustrated to me that simply moving the position of those chapters strengthened my novel. And I needed that time away from it, and I needed to have somebody else's eyes on it. So there is something about our writing, and it is worth, if you can afford it, to have some time working with somebody who can help you just check over and make sure you've got this right. You can also use beta readers. I have heard recently some people saying beta readers are proofreaders. No, they're not. They're not at all. Maybe I need to do an episode on what is a beta reader. But a beta reader fundamentally is somebody who is an early reader. You give them a series of questions to answer for you. And from there, you are then able to understand what, from their feedback, what it is you need to do to improve your writing. But there are some specific things you can look out for in your writing. And I have to say, by the way, there was a fabulous post on Twix from Cheshire Prize. Oh, what's it called? The Cheshire Prize for Writing. They have a yes list and a no list. So it's a list of things that if there are five of these points from the yes list, it's put through to the long list, or to the long, long list. If there are five of these no's, it's rejected. And it's worth having a read of that. Now, I'm just going to give you some things that I know that are really useful to think about when you consider, is there something about my writing? So, is there a hook? And is that hook really obvious? And does the hook come early enough? If not, then you are going to lose the reader, who in this case is an agent. Is the start of the novel laboured? I've spoken to people in the past where they've said, well, it's really important for me to describe the setting, to describe the person, to describe the past. Actually, if that makes the start of your novel laboured, perhaps what you need to do is look for ways that you can drop the seeds of the location, the main character, their past. That was something that I had to learn through my process of writing, that actually I don't need to give all the descriptive stuff right at the beginning, because it does create a laboured start. If it's a laboured start, an agent isn't going to carry on to get to the good bits. Whilst we're at it, let's just talk prologues for a moment. There are a lot of agents who say that they won't read a prologue. If your prologue is absolutely necessary, this might be a time to call it chapter one. If it's not absolutely necessary, maybe you could just leave it out for now, but include it when you send in the full manuscript. Remember, what you want to do is hook the reader. And in this case, the reader is the agent. And if a prologue's not going to hook the reader, don't include it in the sample writing that you send in. Another one is about having characters that are unbelievable or unrelatable. I had one character in book two that when I read through, the character doesn't exist on book two anymore, I hasten to add. But when I was doing a read through at one point, it was like, oh my goodness, I could not have written a more cliched character, even in terms of the name I'd given to the character as well. And as a result, because he was so cliched, he wasn't believable, he wasn't relatable. He was only a sub-character, but even so, he's gone. His role has now been captured within somebody else's role. If those characters, by the way, are wooden as well, then that will impact on being something about your writing that the agents won't connect with. And the last one that I'll describe for this section is if you have too much description and not enough action, that will lead to that laboured start. It will lead as well to the unbelievable and unrelatable characters, and it will probably lead to there being no hook. So those are just a small selection of things that it's worth your while having a think about around your writing. So we've had luck, we've had timing, we've had something about your writing. The final one is, and this is a really important reason why people could potentially have their novel rejected. And I'm being really careful here. You are not being rejected. Your novel is being rejected. So the submission pack, it is really important that you get this right. Isn't that obvious? Well, it is, but I've also had conversations with people who've said things like, well, I know they've asked for the first three chapters, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make each of my chapters 7,000 or 8,000 words long, so that means that they're going to get a really good big chunk of my novel. The agents are not after a huge chunk of your novel. When they say they want to receive the first three chapters, and that's if that is what they're asking for, then they actually really are talking of chapters being possibly 2,000 to 3,000 words. They are not looking for you to send them 20,000 words. They probably are expecting up to 10. Now, you might be sitting there going, yeah, but my first chapter is only 500 words. My second one is 2,000, but my third one is only 1,000. That's okay. It's all right to send them fewer words than you perhaps think they might be expecting, because if it's got the hook, if it's got a start that is really moving along, if it's got those believable characters that are relatable, and if you have got lots of action in there, or the right kind of action in there, they're going to come back at you and say, I've read that, I want to receive some more now. So the submission pack is crucial to get it right. Now, I created a table for myself. I use Excel, so I love using Excel. I use it in my day job. And so what I did for myself was create a table on the spreadsheet that had all the information about agents that I was looking to query. I then did my research about those agents, and I had a number of columns. So a column for the agent's name, a column for which agency they were at, a column that told me what genre are they interested in, what's their wish list. That helped me to make sure that I was targeting the right agents. I then had a column that was about the requirements for submission. So what were they looking for? And so what I find that from that research, I found that people are looking for the first three chapters, the first 3,000 words, maybe the first 10,000 words, the first 10 pages. I did come across one that was the first 5,000 words, I think. But that gives you an idea that they vary. And because there's no consistency, you need to have a way in which you can keep track. So the column that tells you what is it that they want in the submission pack. They might also say something like the query letter to be in the body of the email, and then a PDF of the synopsis and the sample. They may say something completely different. Read what it says on their website. I would also recommend that you make sure you go to the actual agency's website. Don't trust other websites where it might be out of date information. Also, if it says to use their submission form on their website, use the submission form on their website. Don't send an email when it said you must submit via their submission form. So make sure on that table you've identified your agent, the agency that they work for, what's on their wish list, what their submission requirements are. I then also had a column that was identifying when I had sent that submission to them and queried them, whether I'd heard anything back, and I then colour it as well. So if somebody had asked for more time. So I had one agent who said, we're not going to be able to get to yours right now. I want more time. I think I put that down as an amber. I had Claire, who very quickly said she wanted the full manuscript. She was green. I can't remember which agency, but I had one agency that replied within the first, I think it was about the first 8 hours, saying thanks, but no thanks. So clearly that was, I didn't even class that as being a rejection. They hadn't looked at it. Obviously they'd not looked. So I just deleted that one. I didn't even turn it red. But when I then got a couple that were rejecting, then I just turned them red. And then I went on to the next one on the list and subbed to them, so that I was making sure I was keeping a good range of active queries in the trenches. So what's in your submission pack then? Well, we've got the query letter, we've got the synopsis, and we've got the sample. So with your query letter, make sure within that that you illustrate to the agent that you have done your research into them. So give an introduction at the beginning that says something about, I noticed that you are looking for, and then say something about what's on their wish list. Then follow that on by saying, my novel, give the title, fits into what you are looking for because it is a, and in my case, it's women's commercial fiction in the uplifting arena. I can't remember whether I used the arena word, but you get the context of what I'm saying there. Then I moved on to introducing my novel, and that was very, very short. I didn't say an awful lot about it, but I did say who Holly was, where it was located, and I also went on to say something about my inspiration as well. Then we've got comps. Comps, if you don't know, are comparative titles. And it's really important here to think of this in the context of what would your book sit alongside on the shelves? Or if it was a table in the middle of the floor of a bookshop, what would your book be sitting with on that table? So I think I used Claire Pooley, The Authenticity Project. I definitely used Stephanie Butland, but I can't remember which of her books, because so many of her books are fabulous. Obviously, I know I am slightly biased because I adore Stephanie Butland, but honestly as well, her books are fabulous. So it was either Nobody's Perfect or Lost in a Bookshop, something like that, that I chose. Anyway, so you're looking for comps that are probably roughly 5 years old. Interestingly, I noticed that my publishers are now using one that's a bit older than that, about 7 or 8 years old, and that is Eleanor Oliphant. So they're comparing my novel to Eleanor Oliphant. That is really interesting because I wouldn't have chosen that at the time when I was querying agents. The reason why is that I felt that was too ambitious, I think would probably be the best word for that. But also because it was older than 5 years old, and I had been told by numerous people to keep it to something that was quite recent. Now, I did include a Maeve Binchy. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was one that was published after her death. So it was a more recent Maeve Binchy rather than the older ones. But I wanted to give that sense of, it is that feel-good fiction that you would get from a Maeve Binchy kind of novel. I, by the way, do not think I am anywhere near as good as Maeve Binchy as a writer, but I dream to be as good as Maeve Binchy. And if you haven't read any Maeve Binchy, you need to. And if you haven't read any Claire Pooley, you need to. Claire Pooley, in fact, is a publication twin of mine this year, because her next book comes out on the 20th of June, the same day as mine. So we've got the comp titles in there as well. And from the comp titles, you can also say something about who your target reader is. Next, you want to say something about the plot blurb. And remember, keep this really short, clear and succinct, because you will have a synopsis to go into more detail. And then finally, you want something in there, a little bit about you. That could be about the inspiration of the novel. It could be a little bit about your history of writing, if you've been published before, or if you've been published in magazines, or if you've been on courses, then say something about some of the courses you've attended. And then finally, you'll have your sample of writing. Now, I've already mentioned that each agency has a different idea of what they want in terms of a sample. So do check what they're looking for. My point of caution would be around the fact that if they say they want 10,000 words, and at 10,000 words, you're stopping on a bit that perhaps is a little bit more laboured, but at 8,500 words, there was a cymbal crash or there was a cliffhanger, that's a better place to stop. You are far better sending in 8,500 words that stops at a point where they go, I want to know what happens next, than that you've taken them beyond that point and then they go, meh, yeah, that was all right. Because obviously when they get the full manuscript, they'll go past this bit that's between 8,500 words and 10,500 words, and they'll keep on reading, hopefully, because the reason for that bit being a bit slower becomes more apparent. What you don't want to do is to finish on a bit that really isn't making an awful lot of sense for them. So getting your submission pack is the last of the four things as to why your novel might not be getting accepted, why you're getting rejected. So remember, it's about luck, it's about timing, it's about something about your writing, and it's about the submission pack. If you are getting rejected, the temptation is to do one of two things. One is to give up, and I hear so many people who say, oh, I'm giving up, I'm going self-published. You could go self-published, but remember, being self-published is really hard work. It's not easier than having a publisher, it's different from having a publisher, and you've still got a lot of work to do. There are also those who go, I'm just giving up, full stop. Don't give up, because actually, it could simply be that it was luck or timing. Your writing might not have anything wrong with it at all, but it was all about luck or timing. Put that away for now, keep it, because maybe when you have got a publisher with another book, they will want to know, have you written anything else? Yeah, I've written this actually. So what you can do instead is say to yourself, I'm going to write another book, and do that. The other option is to just keep on, keep on, keep on, and keeping on, keeping on. Actually, maybe there comes a point where you need to stop and reflect and ask yourself, is there something with my writing, or is there something with my submission pack, and go back to that. This is where an agent one-to-one could become really helpful to you, because an agent one-to-one will tell you whether or not the submission pack is working. They can tell you if you've got a good query letter, they can tell you if the synopsis works well, and they can also tell you if the writing is good in that sample that you've sent through. And I think for most agent one-to-ones, they look at 3,000 words, by the way, so it's not a huge amount, but that's enough for you to be able to make that absolutely blooming brilliant. So there we go. That is helping you to get a sense of why you're being rejected if you are. I hope you're not. I hope you have the good fortune. But you know, the reality is everybody is going to be rejected by some agents. I was rejected by one agent, by the way, a good 8 to 9 months after I had signed with Claire. So rejections can come a long time afterwards as well. So, you know, we're all going to get rejected at some point. I was rejected a few times with the submission pack that we did with the commissioning editors when we were out on submission to them. And that was tough too. So, you know, rejection is probably part of what we've got to do to build our resilience. And next week's episode of the rejection series is all about the next steps, and that includes what to do about rejection and includes something on resilience as well. So I will leave you to it for now. Happy writing. I hope you're not getting rejections right now, but if you are, happy resilience with those rejections, and may the words play for you, and I'll see you on the next episode.